Good morning, First Baptist Nettleton. It is a privilege and an honor to open God's Word with you this morning. Back in the Gospel of John, walking through that Gospel, I believe, and we find ourselves in the 8th chapter, and my assignment is the last number of verses there in John chapter 8, starting in verse 31 down through the end of the chapter. As you turn there, let me just introduce the sermon this way. Conversations that you and I have are such that sometimes we don't know what we were just a part of. I'll give you two examples in my life of conversations that for a season at least changed the direction of my life because of one conversation. I was a senior in high school. At that time, I had already surrendered to be in the ministry, and I was searching for a way out. I was searching for a way out, and I had a conversation with one gentleman who is a world-renowned eye surgeon. I come from a family, a lineage of eye doctors. I would have been the 6th generation of eye doctors if I would have gone in that field. And I had one conversation with this gentleman who said, "Go finish school and you can work for me, and about that time I will retire and you can have the practice." And for 3 years, I did everything that I possibly could do to run from the call that God had on my life to go in that direction. Finally, I surrendered again to God's will, and I went into the ministry. Second conversation happened in a restaurant not too far from here, Steele's Diner, and I was sitting there talking with Pastor Rob Armstrong at Harrisburg. I was helping him and helping them with some church planting. They had a church planter that they were helping at the time, and we were talking about that. And then at the end of the conversation, he stated this: "You don't happen to know anyone who has the gift set of being an AMD or an AMS. And I stated, "You know, Rob, about 7 years ago, I had the opportunity to be that in DeSoto County. I did not think that it was God's plan. I didn't think it was a great time for me to leave the church that I had planted and pastored. And so I did not take it up. But I do believe that I love to help pastors, and I have a gift in that." Well, now going on 3 years, I'm in my 3rd year, I am now the AMS, all because of one conversation. Conversations change people. Conversations, maybe in the moment, you and I don't know the importance of them, but conversations are important. This morning, I want us to read and I want us to walk through a conversation that Jesus had with two groups of people. He had it with some believers, and he had it with some that were protesting him. So follow along as I read aloud. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. I'm going to read out of the New American Standard Version, starting in verse 31 of John chapter 8. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you," or "the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. The Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father who you dishonor and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Surely, you are not greater than our father Abraham who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Heavenly Father, as we spend just a few moments this morning in your word, would you speak? Father, this passage, this portion of your word is just that. It is your word given to us. Father, we stand on the promises of your word, that when your word goes forth, it will not come back void. We ask, Father, this morning that you would speak. You would speak to us as a faith family, as First Baptist Church Nettleton. And Father, you would speak to us as individual men and women, young and old. For we all need to hear from you. So Father, we ask that you would speak. As we walk through this text, would you show us the conversation, the components of this conversation? And Father, would you draw us close to you? I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. The components of the conversation, three components that we see in the passage this morning, as we walk through this. The first is this: there are instructions that are spoken for all to obey, but not all hear. There are instructions that are spoken for all to obey, but not all will hear. If you look down through this conversation, it's really more like a lecture that has happened, and then there is a question and answer time after the lecture. That's more what this conversation is like, but there is a conversation between Jesus and a group of individuals that don't believe in Jesus. And as they are there, Jesus has a number of components, a number of instructions that are given, and I just want to draw out one of those for us in this first point. It is this, that there is a difference between a slave and the free. There, back in verse 34, down through verse 36, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave doesn't remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." In this part of the conversation, Jesus speaks a spiritual truth. The spiritual truth is this, that you and I can't serve two masters at the same time. You will serve one of two masters. You will either serve God with everything that you have, or you will serve sin, and you will be a slave to sin. You can't serve both. You can't straddle the fence. You can't stay in one on with your right side of your body and one with your left side of the body. You can't say one with the lower half of your body and one with the top half of your body. You and I will serve a master. And in this spiritual truth, when everyone who commits sin, Jesus states they are a slave to sin. Ron Dunn, pastor of yesteryear, stated this about sin. There is a beleaguering sin. Most every single one of us have a beleaguering sin. And maybe you don't understand the term or the word beleaguering, but it is one that holds captive, the one that is close by the door, similar to that sin that Cain was spoken of back in Genesis, that sin is just crouching right there at the door, ready to pounce on you. And it is so close to you because it has gotten you before. And it has gotten you before. And it has gotten you before. And it's just waiting once again to get you once more. That sin is in your hip pocket, so to speak, your purse, your bedside table. Close. The kind that grabs you quick and it comes out of nowhere. You know the sin. And that sin in you is possibly not the same sin that's in me. Maybe it's an attitude that just so quickly it turns. Maybe it's an action that it has happened in your life and has happened and has happened and you seek to keep it far from you, but it is right there. Maybe you say, "Well, I know, but Brian, that's just every so often that it gets a hold of me. It's just every so often. Maybe it's on Tuesdays. Maybe it's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:35. Maybe it's just every other month. It's just this or it's just that," and you fill in the blank. Well, my argument back to you would be this. We have a time where you, where I give up freedom, and at that moment, at that time, you and I become a slave to that sin. And Jesus states that for the readers, he states that to the audience that's in the conversation when he states that in verse 34, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Acting and committing that sin, oh, it puts us back in chains, and you and I give up our freedom in that moment when we sin, we become a slave. All along knowing that Jesus has freed you from those chains. Jesus has broken those chains. He's kicked the door open of the cell. He's untied the knots of the ropes. And when you sin, and when I sin, we freely give up that freedom. And we are bound once again. Oh, First Baptist Church, please see this today, that Jesus has brought freedom your way and He has bought freedom for you and me. The actions that He took part in all the way through the cross and the grave. Don't just on a whim give that up. The Jews and the Pharisees could not, they would not see this. They could not and would not know real freedom. May that not be the case for us. A second aspect of the conversation, not only do we see instructions that are given, but a second aspect of this conversation, it draws out bold contrast between the groups. Or there are some statements of certain groups that Jesus draws out and brings out for everyone to see. Jesus calls them out more than once in the passage. It's a conversation. They're going back and forth. And as Jesus speaks, every time He speaks, I can just see those on the other side of the conversation, the red in their face just getting higher and higher and higher until at the end that they're picking up stones to kill Jesus. He calls them out more and more. And as these two groups are, quote, talking, as they're questioning and answering back and forth, Jesus points out some issues that they have. Look with me at some of these issues or the topics, these items that Jesus points out. First being this, they will not give place for the Word of God. There in verse number 37, He says this to them. He says, I know that Abraham's descendants, I know you're Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me. Why? You seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. They sought to kill Him because they had no place for His word. A second reason He brings out here is this. They trust in the flesh. They trust in the human birth. They trust in human works. Verse 39, and Jesus said to them, if you're Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. Paul states it this way. He says, everything I count as rubbish to know Christ. To see Him, to know Him. I beat my body into submission so that I won't run and live this life in vain. Third statement, they hate Christ and they seek to kill Him. Verse 40 and verse 44. Verse 40 states, but as it is, you are seeking to kill me. Verse 44 states this, you are of your father the devil and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer even from the beginning. And then all the way down in verse 59, they picked up stones to throw at Him, but Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple. Other statements about this father, Satan, he's a murderer and his children imitate him. They don't love Christ or the things of Christ. Verse 42. Is that you? Do you love Christ? Do you follow Him? Do you obey Him? Here lately, my house is never boring. I wish that it was boring. I really wish that it was boring. Last week, I told my wife, Paige, I said, Paige, do you know how boring my life would be if I didn't have two dogs that lived in my house? They're not even my dogs. She can find it on Facebook if it's on Facebook, but you don't have to tell her. She decided this past year, instead of us going on vacation, she said, hey, Brian, why don't we do this with our vacation money? Why don't I go buy a dog? And she's not a dog person. And I knew exactly at that moment what was going to happen, that she was going to buy a dog and I was going to have to take care of the dog that she bought. But that's not why my house is not boring. Just take yesterday. Yesterday I had the in-laws at the house. I was grilling out. We had on the stove, this is awesome, we had on the stove some peas and some butter beans, and there was meat on the grill and everything was great. And about 25 minutes into the two vegetables on the stove boiling, I walk by and I go to the sink to wash my hands, and I just glance in my peripheral, I glance at the peas. And I see something that should not be in the peas. I don't know what it is at first glance, but something is in the peas and that should not be there. And so what do? I immediately turn my focus to what's on the stove in the peas. And it is a toddler's sock and two sticks. And my four-year-old has thrown a sock and two sticks into the peas. And here's the conversation. John Tyler, come here. Paige, come here. John Tyler, come here. Dad, please, please don't spank me. Please don't spank me. Please don't spank me. I'm sorry. John Tyler was not sorry. He was not sorry that he threw a sock and two sticks into the peas. He was sorry that he got caught. There's a difference, right, parents? There's a difference. And there's a difference for you and me as well when you and I get caught in sin. Are we sorry that we got caught, or are we sorry that we actually did it? The conversation between Jesus and these Pharisees and Jews was happening, and they might, I use air quotes, they might be sorry that they got caught, but they definitely are not sorry that they did what they did. They may throw a sock in the peas in a few years, so watch out for them. Jesus reminds those in front of him, and he reminds you and me. He reminds us to be careful and not be blinded by Satan. Look there in verse 43. He says, why do you not understand? Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word. You cannot see the word. You cannot hear the word. And if you can't hear or see the word, you are being blinded. You are being thwarted by Satan. A third and final statement of this conversation that I want us to look at is right there at the end of the conversation. We'll pick up in verse 56, and we will move to the end where Jesus states this, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. He saw it, and he was glad. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, yet you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Seven times in the Gospel of John, there are I am statements. Seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus somewhat steps out of being veiled and robed and opens for everyone to see who he truly is. He shares with those in the conversation, he shares with those who hear his words, that he is deity. And here in John chapter 8, he just states a name. Some translations have it as Yahweh, others have it as Jehovah, but it is one name. And it goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 3. But here in John chapter 8, before we get to Exodus and I close the sermon, here in John chapter 8, one commentator stated it this way about these verses from 56 down through the end. He says, how did Abraham see our Lord's day? That is, his life and ministry here on the earth. the same way, he answers his question, the same way that he saw the future city, by faith. Did God give Abraham some special vision of our Lord's life and ministry? No, but he did give him the spiritual perception to see these future events. Certainly, Abraham saw the birth of the Messiah in the miraculous birth of his own son Isaac. He certainly saw Calvary when he offered Isaac up to God. In the priestly ministry of Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14, Abraham could see the heavenly priesthood of the Lord. In the marriage of Isaac, Abraham could see a picture of the marriage of the Lamb. Abraham saw Jesus. But before Abraham was born, Jesus says, I am. If you have your Bibles, you can turn back to Exodus chapter 3, and I'll read two verses for us and try to land the plane. God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, He says, I am who I am. He said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial name to all generations. I am. It's a similar statement in Exodus 3 as it is in John chapter 8. God wants Moses. He doesn't just want Moses to understand a conversation. He wants more. He wants all of Moses. He doesn't just want him to go do the work. He wants Moses. He wants Moses to know him. He wants Moses to see him. He wants Moses to experience him. Jesus wants the Pharisees, those who are against him, to see him. Jesus wants the Pharisees to know him. Jesus wants the Pharisees to experience him. Jesus wants you to see him, to know him, to experience him. Just getting a name will not do that. Moses, nor you and I, we need to see the foundational marks of who he is before you and I can just get the name. But he says, I am. Not I was. Not I will be, but I am. Always present. Eternal present. God says to Moses, I haven't revealed myself to anybody like this before, but here I am revealing myself to you. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary on this passage, states this, the most difficult people to win to the Savior are those who do not realize they have a need of a Savior. Maybe you know some of those folks. Maybe you know some folks who believe everything's going to be okay. Everything's all right now, and everything's going to be okay in the end. They're under the condemnation of God, yet they trust that their religion is going to save them. They're walking in the darkness, not following the light of life. They are sharing in a living death because they're bondage to sin, and in spite of their religious deeds, they are dishonoring the Father and the Son. Doesn't mean that you and I don't try. Doesn't mean that you and I don't speak to them. It doesn't mean that you and I don't live different beside them and amongst them. But it does mean this. Just as Jesus and His followers in that conversation in John chapter 8, for you and me as well, you and I continue to believe Him. Continue to live different than the world is living. Continue to follow and obey Him. Continue to see Him work, see Him move, see Him challenge, see Him encourage you and me, and glory in Him. Heavenly Father, we bow before You. God, there are conversations in our lives that at the moment we may not even know the importance of them. But Father, You do. Father, You have moved us to a certain spot at a certain time, just as You had the children of Israel in a place. Just as You had Mary and Joseph at the right time. to be in Bethlehem so that your Son, our Savior, might be born. That would answer all the prophets and all the prophecies of His birth. Father, You are orchestrating that even now in our own lives. May we pay close attention to the conversations that we are a part of. May we understand the Word that You have given us. May we not give up our freedom today, Father. For You have set us free and we are free indeed. Might we live that way to bring glory and honor to You, our King. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.